Welcome to Healed Adjacent, where my overflow contributes to your cup. I'm your host, Yazzie G, and I don't know about you, but I'm ready to laugh. Okay, this week has been a whirlwind, and it was so hard choosing my topics for some of these segments because there was so much that I wanted to talk about, but we're going to take it slow, we're going to take it easy, and we're going to allow some time for our spirit to relax. So. Yeah, let's get into it. My quote of the day is, God spoke today in flowers, and I, who was waiting on words, almost missed the conversation. I love this quote because I feel like a lot of the times when our prayers are answered, they're not answered in the way that we thought it would be, or it doesn't look how we thought our answered prayer would look. And we get so used to seeing things like on social media or, you know, just kind of taking certain things as signs that we forget how big God is and his ability to teach us and reach us in places that I guess we didn't really think that he would be. And I just love the idea of God speaking in flowers because I always think about, you know, receiving my garden, receiving those big blessings that will pivot my entire life. So that quote is really beautiful, and it's just a reminder that God is everywhere, and he will speak to you in whatever form suits that day. So yeah. So next I'm gonna get into my high, low, and buffalo. So my high of the week is actually that my heart has been very heavy these past couple of weeks, just with figuring out what direction my life is going in and dealing with the loss of a connection that I thought I would have for a lot longer. And I just, the other day I was like, okay, Yasmin, you can sit in this pain and you can allow that emotion to overwhelm you and be a reflection of you and show up in ways that maybe I didn't intend for it to, or I can actually give it to God this time. Like sometimes I pray, I'm like, oh God, I give this worry to you and I give this anxiety to you, and then I wake up and I worry about it all over again. So it's just very counterproductive, and it ends up being very cyclical. And I don't believe that our God is a God of cycles. He's a God of seasons. And so anytime I find myself ruminating in unproductive thoughts or feelings that serve me none, or having questions that I'll probably never get the answer to, I literally say to myself, oh, but didn't you give it to God? And immediately, just like that, it's like the thoughts are gone, the feelings are gone, and there's just this sense of peace, I guess, that I feel. So that's been my high, is just being able to kind of snap out of it and bring myself back to the present and remain grateful for all the things that I have rather than pondering on the things that I don't have and why I don't have them. So literally something as simple as saying to myself when I'm in the midst of those thoughts, but didn't you give it to God? Like that has worked wonders for me. So I absolutely love that. That's my high. My low is actually the fact that I really feel like I'm coming into my own. And it's like, okay, now that I'm recognizing maybe new traits about myself or new characteristics about myself, I'm realizing that some of my actions don't necessarily align. And it's a low because I feel like some of those actions go directly against the value that I hold. I never want to sell myself short. I never want to shrink. But I find myself doing that often, especially when I don't get what I desire. Because then I'm like, oh, if I didn't get it, then I'm not deserving of it. Like, for me, it becomes a blame game. And I tend to blame myself because that's a lot easier than blaming someone who probably could not care less. So it's like, if I just blame myself for my actions, then, you know, I could just be mad at myself and figure out how to move through that. But that is something that I am working on. And I just don't want to see myself continue to be in situations, in rooms, or with people who do not treat me in the way that I should be treated. Just for the sake of having that connection, whether it be platonic, romantic, professional even, you know, it's like, if people aren't going to recognize your value, and it has to be the same value that you recognize within yourself, then, hey, something got to shake. Somebody got to move, and it ain't going to be me. So you're going to have to get on out the way. But in this case, I have to get out of my own way because I am the one not treating me as I deserve. So that's my low. But it's also kind of a high because in that realization, I'm able to pinpoint those behaviors and pinpoint the situations in which I'm not valuing myself and I'm doing something that serves me no purpose. My buffalo is that I went to New Orleans this past weekend for a graduation from Dillard University, which is the school that I got my degree from. So there's a whole lot of love there for the university, for the city of New Orleans. I'm originally from Louisiana and I now live in Texas, but baby, I don't let go of them Louisiana roots. Like, I literally just got a Texas license and I've been here for 2 years now. So, and I got it a couple weeks ago, and I only got it because I needed to fly with, you know, a real ID. And if you don't know, Texas, their driver's license have the little star on it, so it's a real ID. You don't have to do anything extra, and I needed that because, baby, I was not missing my flight. Okay, I was not missing that trip to NOLA. So that is my high low in buffalo. I feel like I'm moving so quick. I mean, those are only the first two segments, but still, that was fast. So next I'm going to move into my out of school education. So what has been in the forefront of my mind, or a big lesson or something that I'm just recognizing, is the fact that I'm being stripped and it doesn't feel good. It does not feel good at all. I have just been in a place of despair almost. Like, I journaled yesterday and I've never been one to call myself broken or defeated or anything of the sort. But in journaling yesterday, I wrote both of those things, like that I feel that I feel just low. You know, I feel like my heart is heavy. I feel broken and beat down. And I'm like, okay, gosh, like I know you're stripping me so that I can walk into something even greater. But, you know, it kind of goes back to last week and when I was speaking on obedience, like I'm having to mourn those things that are, I don't even want to say taken away from me. Like, I'm having to mourn the things that no longer benefit me is the most optimistic way to say that. And that's really a lot of what I'm doing in this season, is kind of rearranging my framing of sentences, my framing of the way that I speak over myself and to myself and for myself. So I'm trying to be present in my moments and accept the way that I'm feeling, and well, acknowledge the way that I'm feeling and feel it, right? Because I used to be someone who I would acknowledge how I felt and then I would kind of just intellectualize it and come up with some logical reasoning as to why I feel this way and how quickly I'm going to come out of feeling this way. And now I'm like, now I just feel like, okay, Yasmin, you've grown so much. You're kind of too big for that. You know, you like, it's literally, you know better, you do better, right? Like, I know better. I know that I can't intellectualize my feelings because it's very likely going to pop up at a moment where it's the most inconvenient. So instead of allowing that to be the case, I'm recognizing that I am being stripped and it does hurt to not have some of those things, but to know that there's something greater on the other side really keeps me going, you know, because I've been doing so well with my obedience in whatever form that looks like. And it's not always, you know, drastic. It's not like I don't still have a potty mouth, because I definitely do. But, you know, it's small things like maybe acknowledging when I am cussing a little too much. or just not being the best version of myself. So I'm enjoying how aware of it I am, because it makes my feelings feel like feelings, you know, not like fact. And we have to remember that our feelings are not fact. And it's so important for me to kind of keep that at the forefront, because my emotions are so big and they have a tendency to overwhelm me, and I get very consumed in whatever it is that I'm feeling. And, you know, when that's joy or peace, great. But when it's sadness or hurt or pain or anger, it's like, ugh. You know, no one wants to sit in that. No one wants to feel angry or feel hurt, but that's just the reality of it. And it's okay to feel that way, knowing that something even better is going to come out of it. Like, I'm going to get my garden, not just because I was stripped, but because I was stripped and then I still continue to do the work. Because I could be feeling these things and calling into work, not reading my word, not turning to God. And you know what? That is a big reason why I feel like I have been stripped in the way that I have been stripped and in the timing that I have been stripped. Because, you know, one, God is close to the brokenhearted, right? But also the way that things are happening in front of me, they're literally happening in front of me. Like, they're happening in the physical. And I'm just very grateful that I'm in a place where I can recognize that and I can acknowledge that and I can do something with that. And so it's just like, okay, God, like, I see you working, and then I see why you're doing what you're doing, and I'm watching the way I'm being pulled closer to him. And that in and of itself is beautiful. Sometimes I just wish I wasn't so hard-headed and it didn't take drastic measures to bring me around. And it's not that I wasn't continuing to fellowship or, you know, spend time with God. It just looked very different. And I was finding myself coming up with excuses why I was too tired to pray, or too tired to read my word, or too tired to even just have a conversation with God. And so he said, oh, I got something for that. I got something real good for that. And so here we are, being stripped. Apparently I'm a stripper, or at least that's how it feels. So that might be the title of this episode. Apparently I'm a stripper. Well, I mean, I'm being stripped. So am I really the stripper or the strippy? You know what? Doesn't matter. So yes, but that's my out of school education for this week, is that I am being stripped, and yes, it hurts, and I'm acknowledging those feelings in real time, but I also acknowledge that my garden is coming. Like I said, not just because I'm being stripped, but because I'm being stripped and doing the work. So yeah, that's been beautiful in that process. Painful, but beautiful. So our next segment is God's promise. And I'm actually really excited to talk about this one this week, because I was thinking the other day about how I really enjoy being in the background. Like, I've never really been someone who wanted to be in front of the camera, or doing, like, you know, big things in front of large crowds. Like, I know I have the capacity to do so. It's just not something that's ever really been a desire of mine. And I was like, you know, in college, I ran for vice president for our SGA, Student Government Association, and spoiler alert, didn't win. But that's not the point. For me, running for vice president felt like being in the background. And for others, you know, that might, running for VP sounds very forefront. But I was like, okay, VP is not president. You know, I still get to help make decisions and do a lot in the background. Like, I like to be big in the background. I want to be a part of a greater good, but I don't need to be the face of that greater good, if that makes sense. And I was thinking about how God works in the background. And a lot of the times that's, or for me at least, that's something that has a tendency to keep me from him, is the fact that I can't see what's happening, which is why I'm so glad that my out of school education was about being stripped, because I can literally see what he's doing. You know, like, I see why I'm being stripped. I'm seeing what I'm being stripped of. And so he is so big, yes, in the front, but also in the background. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, that is a way in which God is relating to me. And that's something beautiful about having a relationship with God, is that you may feel lonely and alone, but you are never alone. Not when you have God right there by your side. And so I just have an appreciation for the way that he cares for his people, the way that he cares for his children. Like, that's something that as human beings, we have the capacity to do, but we don't always do. But God always does it. Like, he's always there. He's always moving something, regardless of how you may feel in the physical and in the present. know that there is someone there on your side working things out for your good. And what better person is there to have than God? So it's just very beautiful that he is promising to show up, not just in his godly form, but in all aspects, right? Like, he shows up in love, he shows up in pain, he shows up in growth, he shows up in the background, he shows up in the forefront. Like, there's not a crevice, a crack or a crevice in the physical or the spiritual that he will not show up for you in. And that's really beautiful. I don't think we really as humans have the capacity to practice unconditional love, right? Like, I love you on the condition that you're a good person. I love you under the condition that you treat me well. And I'm not necessarily talking about parent-child relationships. Those are a little bit different. I'm gonna be honest, I don't know nothing about that. Maybe there is unconditional love there. I know as a child, as a daughter, yeah, I think my mom could go and murder somebody and I would still love her because I'm sure she was justified. Like, girl, you had to do what you had to do. But for a lot of relationships that we find and grow into, that doesn't always look like that, right? Your friend disrespects you or does something across a boundary that you have time and time said, like, this is set, don't do this, and they do it, right? Like, that relationship is gone. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you don't still have love for them, but you don't love them in the same way that you did. But God promises that. He promises to never leave or forsake us. Like, God is in a jail, okay? God is in a penitentiary. Like, he has children in there. He's not going to leave them. And so that's just beautiful that we have that example to go off of and to live by. So that's pretty dope, God. You're doing your big one for real. But next I'm going to go into This Is For Becoming. I think this is going to be my favorite segment today because I'm really excited to talk about this. So my This Is For Becoming this week is for choosing to exist. So there's so much to unpack here. At the top of this year, I did a 75 hard. And what was so funny was, like, the first 2 weeks, I definitely was the strongest out of the whole 75 hard. I was doing everything on the list or not doing, you know, the things that I put down for me to not do. I wasn't doing those things. And I was working out. I was eating a certain diet. I was drinking a certain amount of water every day, doing my exercise, doing my Bible study, all the things. And in those 75 days, it was a time of rest, but it was also a time of action at the same time. And last week, I briefly touched on just existing as a form of healing. And because my heart has been so heavy, I have felt the need to act, to do, because I always feel like, okay, if I didn't get this, it's because I did something wrong or I'm not enough. So clearly I need to do more. Like, I didn't get the job. Okay, so I need to do more. I need to spend more time on the resume. I didn't get the love. Okay, I'm literally not enough, and that person didn't choose me because X, Y, and Z reason. And so in that, I'm wanting to do a whole lot because I'm like, okay, well, clearly I'm the problem, and something needs to be done on my end, so now I'm going to act. And what I've received through all of this is that I need to do the opposite. Because what I am used to, what I am comfortable with, is throwing myself into something as a distraction or some form of just feeling better about myself rather than sitting in whatever it is that I'm feeling and really getting down to the bottom of why I'm feeling that way. Why do I feel the need to punish myself when someone else has wronged me? Like, that's so backwards. Like, I hate that I do that because I don't deserve to treat myself in that way, and I'm still figuring out how to unlearn that. And that is where the choosing to exist comes from. I, like, a week ago was like, I'm going to do like a 75 hard but for the rest of the year. And it's not nearly as intense or extensive as my actual 75 hard was, but it's definitely some hard set boundaries. And when I was making that, like making my parameters, I was like, should I really be doing this right now? Like, is this what I'm being called to do? Or do I just feel like I'm not enough and I need to do more? And so that's something that I'm sitting with. I'm undecided on whether or not I'm going to do this whole 7 month long situation or not. Like, I do think it will be good for me, but I just want to give myself the opportunity to feel what I'm feeling without trying to problem solve. Like, I don't think what I'm feeling is a problem, but for some reason, my body and my mind is viewing it as a problem, probably because my feelings are so big and I do get consumed by them. So my body is like in overdrive and stress mode and shock, whatever you want to call it. And so it's like, okay, we need to do something. Like, we have to figure out how to regulate the body. So let's just do. And it's like, no, let's actually sit in this. Let's figure out, you know, through meditation, journaling, whatever your medium is, prayer, just figuring out why we're sitting with these feelings and what to do with them. And so, like I said, I'm not sure I'm gonna do this whole 7 month long thing, but at the very least, I know that I'm going to sit on it, and at some point we'll absolutely do it. But I also think existing looks different for everyone. Like, some of the things that I have as parameters for these 7 months is literally just a form of me existing, but existing with stronger values or oh my gosh, what is the word? What is the word? There we go. Boundaries. Thank you, Lord. With stronger boundaries. And so I'm really looking forward to enacting that in some way. It just may not need to be right now. Like, right now might need to just be true silence, not doing more than I've done or less than I've done for that matter. But just sitting with myself, sitting with God. Like, I've started doing morning Bible study rather than trying to do it when I get off of work, because my brain is just like not working when I get home. And so waking up in the morning and having that to look forward to, one, has made me actually get up when my alarm goes off. And two, it's been such a great way to start my day, because my mornings have been the hardest with me. Like, the loss of that connection that I thought I would have for a while has really been weighing on me. And so I wake up thinking about it, thinking about what could have went better, what went wrong, like just all the things. And so being able to turn to God immediately after and say, okay, but didn't we give it to God? Like, that has been a game changer in allowing me to feel my emotions but not being overwhelmed by them. So it's so dope to see the way that God is working. Like, I'm cheesing right now from ear to ear, because it's just like, I am observing and experiencing the way that I'm evolving and evolving into a woman that I thought it would probably take me a lot longer to be, or honestly that I thought I would never really be. Like, you know, there's a version of me that literally is in jail right now. Like, in another universe, I am absolutely in jail. And so to know that I am existing in this realm, in this physical world, as this version of myself, I have nothing but gratitude. Like, even through the pain and the unknowing and trying to figure things out, it's just like, I'm watching God continue to show up for me. And it's like, if you can say that, you know, like, that's big. That's big. So I'm very excited for this season. I'm excited for just being a better version of myself, for not just knowing better, but doing better. And I think this season of existing, or better yet, let me say moment, these moments or moment of existing will do me so much good in the long run. And whatever does me good does my community good, you know, because I'm all about servitude and giving back. And it's like, even in my prayers, like, I literally be like, God, bless me so I can bless others. Like, that is the goal, to be able to spread the love and the joy and the wealth that I have. And when I talk about wealth, I'm not talking about, you know, money. I mean, that too, that would be great. But I'm more so talking about the wealth that I have within my support system, my community, my family, my friends. Like, I know that there are a lot of people who wake up and go to a job that they hate, and they come home to an abuser, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever it may be. You know, like, they don't have much in their lives to really look forward to. And that's not my case. I love the kids that I work for. I may be exhausted and overwhelmed and definitely ready for the summer, but I'm going to miss those little boogers this summer. And it's like I come home to people who love me, who support me, who are my biggest fans, and who are always there to back me up. So that's just really dope, and I recognize the wealth in that. And so I just want to be able to spread that to others, whether you have it or not. The more I can pour into your cup, the more you can pour into other cups. You know, like it's definitely a domino effect, and that's something that I want to be a part of. So, yeah, that has been my This Is For Becoming. I know that I kind of switched those up because last week was God's Promise. Well, This Is For Becoming first and then God's Promise. And today I did God's Promise and This Is For Becoming. But that's just the way he wanted me to do it, I guess. Because you know what? This is actually my second time recording the second episode, because I recorded a few days ago. And honestly, listening back to it, like, there were some gems in there, don't get me wrong, but I don't know. I don't think my head was in the right place. I don't think my, like the way I was relaying the message, I just didn't really like it. I think that a lot of it was fueled by the pain that I was feeling in that moment. And that's just not something I want to spread. You know, like I want to be authentic. Life gets messy. Like I'm not always happy-go-lucky trust. I literally be in the car screaming, crying, throwing up, sliding down the wall. Okay. But it's like, I want to make sure that I'm not pouring muddied water into anyone else's cup. You know, like it's very important to me to be as pure-hearted as possible. So it's like when I'm coming at something through a whole lot of emotion, I think it warrants me taking some time to myself before spreading whatever it is. Even if it's good news, you know, like sometimes I just need to sit with those things before I can have a conversation with someone other than myself. And that's what this is. I may be sitting here talking to myself, but this is a dialogue, you know? So I just want to make sure that I'm pouring pure, clean water into others' cups. And not being detrimental to someone or to something. So yeah. Last but not least, we have our Bon Apple Titty. And the Bon Apple Titty for this week is Shrimp Alfredo, but from scratch. I love a good jarred Alfredo, don't get me wrong. But I absolutely love making anything from scratch, really. Like, I've never made gumbo before, but I've made, like, a stew. And I enjoy making my roux from scratch. Like, I love being able to be in the kitchen and to do those things, because to be able to cook, I feel like it's a flex. Like, not everybody could cook. And babes, I throws down. Okay? The food be good around here. And if it's ever not, you're lying. Period. So, I love being in the kitchen. And it's like, sometimes I hate saying that as a woman, because I don't believe that women belong in the kitchen. But personally, I love being in the kitchen. Like, I'm a huge foodie. I love to eat. When I was doing my 75 hard at the top of this year, I did a Mediterranean diet. Not for the whole thing, but for a vast majority of it. And I was really focused on gut health. And so it was really cool just making dishes that I'd either never eaten or never made before and just trying something new. So I just love how much space there is to explore in the kitchen. And then to be able to reap the benefits, like literally right after, you know, you get to eat. Like, girl, I am a big back at heart, okay? Noted, at heart, okay? Anyways. So into the recipe. I don't do measurements when it comes to cooking. If I am baking, absolutely gonna follow the ingredients and the recipe to a T. But when it comes to cooking, I'm all about experimenting. So for this, you need heavy whipping cream and Parmesan. So it just depends on how much you're making, how many people you're making it for. You should definitely do equal parts of heavy whipping cream and the Parmesan. I just eyeball it. I just start pouring until my heart says stop. But first things first, we got to add in the Holy Trinity into a nice hot pot. If you don't know, the Holy Trinity is onions, bell peppers, and celery. So I threw a little bit of that into a pot, let that, you know, smell good. And then I threw in some garlic and just waited for it to be, where is the word, aromatic? Is that You know what? I just think it's so funny the people that they allow into the classroom. But anyways, yes, I put the garlic in there, minced garlic, until it's smelling real good, real nice. And then I threw my shrimp in, and I didn't let them cook all the way through because they were going to do that in the sauce. So just, you know, get them a little pink. I took all of that out of the pot. Well, I took the shrimp out of the pot so that I could cook the sauce down a little bit more. And then I threw the shrimp back in later. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So I took the shrimp out, the garlic, and the Holy Trinity still in the pot. Then I poured in my heavy whipping cream. And I do my cheese very slow so it doesn't curdle, you know, because it'll get real weird and, like, stick to the bottom of the pot. And then you just have to deal with a whole lot of holada. So this is definitely something that you have to stay by the stove for. Continuously stir, you know, and make sure everything is real nice, like so, like that, as Auntie Tab says. So I did all of that. I added in my seasonings, which were onion powder, garlic powder, black pepper, a little bit of salt. I'm really not one who likes to cook a whole lot with salt, but you know, to each their own. And some Italian seasoning. And then for my Cajun seasoning, I actually use Just Enough, which is a family seasoning that I absolutely love. Okay. Ever since we started using that seasoning, like, I have not been able to go back to Slap Your Mama, Tony Sashree's, any of that other fraudulent stuff y'all got out there that y'all calling Cajun seasoning. Because our family seasoning, like, it isn't made with a whole lot of salt. It's like seasoning, it's flavor, you know. So put a whole lot of that in there. Again, I don't measure. I measure with the heart. When my heart says stop, I stop. And then sometimes I do a little bit more, because you never know, the heart be wrong every once in a while. But I added my shrimp back in, everything was seasoned, cooking down nicely. Went ahead and put those noodles into a boiling pot. I did salt the water. I salted it when it started boiling. I put my noodles in, cooked them to al dente, strained them, and then I mixed everything together, and bon appetit. There you have it. Shrimp Alfredo from scratch. Now, if yours comes out nasty, not my fault. Maybe you can't cook. No, I'm just playing. So, that has been this episode of Healed Adjacent, and I thank you so much for making it to the end, for listening. If you want to follow me on Instagram, I'm there at Healed Adjacent Podcast. You can also follow me on my personal Instagram, which is _.yassie, YASSIE .G. I am on TikTok too a little bit. I do a little, you know, a little some here and there. And that is That Girl Yasmin on TikTok. THTGRLYASMINE. That Girl Yasmin. So yeah, thank you guys for sitting in on this episode with me. Definitely, you know, engage, leave your girl a review, leave a little, you know, 4 or 5 stars. I won't be mad at 4. You know, we got some room for improvement, but if you do 3, we're gonna have a problem. So let's keep it at 4 or 5, or I don't know, you might shift into another realm and a Yasmin S in jail might break out and get you. But no, I thank you so much for listening. And with that, I bid you adieu.